Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot. I'm
if you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. There's no game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? Uh-huh. I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
Another year, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We gonna find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, back for another discussion about Carolina Panthers football. Took a couple weeks off, a little lull, doing a lot of March Madness. Now that that's over, back to football and the draft, 100%. And it's the Liars month. You know, it starts with April Fool's and all that chicanery and BS. I know it annoys a lot of people, but we kind of enjoy writing that stuff, even though it may come across as stupid. We got to do something to entertain ourselves periodically here in the off season. So we're going to try to get in Dave Gettleman's head here and figure out if we can pinpoint what the Panthers might be targeting. I would say right off the bat, they are looking to get an elite player. I don't see them reaching at number 8. If they get a chance to drop back, they might, particularly if some of those elite players are off the board. I've seen some mock drafts lately that were just very bad for the Panthers in that no quarterbacks taken early. Usually we look for a couple spots getting sucked up there early on quarterbacks, something we certainly don't need, because we were going to bring in Tony Romo. Oh, Lord. Of course, he retired today. And damn, he didn't jump straight to the CBS booth. Shit, that was the fastest career change I've ever seen, I think. But anyway, I mocked a post I saw. It was just clickbait, I think, a week ago at the Gospel Herald or something that said Tony Romo would be a perfect fit in Carolina. It's like, this is ridiculous. And we see what happened now. There were no takers, I guess, or at least for a reasonable salary would be my guess as to why Romo decided to hang him up. 14 years, dude's taking his shots, taking his injuries. I'd say it's about time. So, hell, enough about Tony Romo. And, crap, we've had a little bit of free agency action. Not much since we last met. Since we last spoke, a little change. The mock drafts are really starting to get all over the place, as you tend to expect this time of the season. But let's see, we will definitely be talking draft. Looks like I got a few callers out on the line, including, let's see, I believe I see old sidekick Brian.
There he is. Brian? What's up, man?
Hey. Just trying to get back in the swing of things here. Haven't done the show in a few weeks, and kind of been all basketballed out for the last 2 weeks. But now back to football.
Yeah, I mean, aside from arguing about different prospects that the Panthers may or may not draft, there isn't really much to talk about in Panthers land right now. So, could see that.
Yeah. I mean, the only sure thing of this draft everyone seems to agree on is that Myles Garrett's going to go number one overall to the Browns. And after that, it's a crapshoot.
Yep. And even then, like, not to get too ahead of everything, but obviously that rumor was going around last week about the Panthers trading up to number two, possibly. And I think the only reason they would do that is if the Browns pull a Browns and decide not to take Garrett.
Yeah. And even then, I'm just not too sure they would be – I don't know. They might. Dave Gettleman might be willing to pull the trigger on something like that. I'd have a hard time. Well, I mean, eighth to number two would probably cost us our two number twos, I guess. I think somebody estimated that, our 2 second-round picks to get
Myles
Garrett.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough call.
It is a tough one. It's like, you know, do you – obviously the value there is simple. You know, you add that high-end pass rusher, but is it worth it to let those two draft second-round picks drop off the board when you could be looking at Myles – or not Myles Garrett – Derek Barnett there at number 8-2, so it's
yeah, exactly. If you really feel you need that pass rusher, there's a couple more that could be on the board between Solomon Thomas, Derek Barnett, and I mean it's pretty deep draft at defensive end. There should be some talented guys there in the second round at number 40.
Yeah,
so.
The draft is such a crapshoot, too. Like, I'm looking at this draft a little differently than I did last draft, and I'm kind of just saying, F the mock drafts, because last year's draft was so messed up by the time, like, the top 10 picks came off the board that it just ruined everybody's mock drafts. So, like, I don't know how many people checked it out, but I jumped on a podcast this week with somebody from the Niners, and they were doing an interesting concept. It was, they'd bring on an expert from a bunch of different sites and have them make the picks for every team. And the board just went crazy. Like, Reuben Foster went number two. That kid Adams, the safety Adams in a sense. But then, O.J. Howard went six to the Jets. And Corey Davis went five to the Titans. Like, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
And it's funny because people will look at that and be like, well, that's a head-scratcher, but it could happen that way, you know? And it was interesting to look at it that way, so. They even had the Jags picking Deshaun Watson at number four, of all things.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, and it's like, it is weird, but, you know, like, there's going to be those picks where you're going to be sitting there like, well, why, you know? It's going to happen. So, yeah.
So you went with Fournette in that scenario?
I wanted to go with Fournette, but I actually went with Jonathan Allen just because I felt it was exactly what Dave Gettleman would do in that scenario, since Allen Allen could play pretty much anywhere along the defensive line, and we know Dave Gettleman loves his big, versatile men. So...
Yeah, I mean, that was actually something I wrote about a couple weeks ago as well, after the combine, when the report on his shoulder came out and how that was something that could knock him down on a number of teams' draft boards, so he very well could be there. You're right. I think that would be a tough guy for Gettleman to overlook if he's there. Around the time I started saying I really liked O.J. Howard at number 8, now it's like he's all over the top 10, where before he was in the late teens. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's just going to come down to, like, it's it's hard to really look at it and evaluate it right because, you know, we're looking at it from the Panthers' perspective with a lot of teams, and it's like some teams are going to value other positions more than others. And it's like, so, you know, it's – and plus there could be those trades for quarterbacks in the top 10 too. Like, those can never be really truly ruled out, even despite people saying that none of these guys are really going to start day one. So, you know, it's just interesting, and it's funny because I read something from Stephen White from SB Nation on Jonathan Allen. He seemed to think that there was no evidence that his shoulders were hurting him at all in his film. So,
yeah, that it's just something showing up on an X-ray or an MRI or something that he's had some issue there, but it's not affecting him. Or no, some early stage
yeah.
arthritis, I think, is what it was. So,
yeah,
you know. It's like the star Lotulelei heart murmur, you know?
Yeah.
Well, probably a little more substance than that, shall I say. But because that was just a false positive, whereas this is just something coming up on an MRI.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, for the Panthers, I got Garrett, and then, you know, players that I'd jump at if they were there, you know, Jamal Adams, Solomon Thomas, maybe Malik Hooker, which actually he was there for this draft. Did he fall very far?
The one that I was talking about? Yeah, he didn't.
I'm looking at that. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get picked. Solomon Thomas did get picked, but Hooker did not. And a lot of our commenters said, you know, you just take Malik Hooker and don't bother looking back, which would make sense, too. It's the nice thing about the eighth pick is that there's going to be a lot of good players on the board there, especially if there's these weird ones where, like, guys that the Panthers that shouldn't be taken that fast, at least in our opinions, are taken, then you suddenly have more players that should have went in the top eight dropping down to Carolina. So,
yeah. All right.
The draft is really a crapshoot. So much fun to talk about, only for everybody's brackets to essentially get busted on draft night.
I actually picked North Carolina to win it. It was one of three correct picks for the final eight, and only one of my final four made it, but ended up winning it, who I picked. It's actually $120 on it on a $20 bet online. But otherwise, my brackets were a shit show. So, but
yeah,
in the end, I won money out of this. Got lucky on that one pick. So, you know, I have to give myself credit for picking the Tar Heels, even though it really pained me to do so. The only way I could enjoy it was to actually win some money, because I don't really like Tar Heel basketball at all.
Eric,
as a Georgia Tech guy.
Eric's probably smiling and nodding right now.
Yep. Yeah. yeah, let's see. I see we've got a couple other callers out there. I'll get around here on the line. Certainly open it up here shortly. So, goodness. What are your thoughts on the Tony Romo retirement?
I think that the whole, like, there were some people who thought maybe he was getting blackballed or whatever, and I don't know. It was a really tough situation for Romo. Like, he was making a lot more than you would want to pay anybody who, like, could potentially get knocked out with one hit. And not even one big hit, just, like, one hit to the wrong spot on his back. And I remember reading something about from Troy Aikman saying, like, you know, he had just seen Romo and talked to him, and he was, like, I think it was last year, he just said, you know, like, one good hit's going to put him out again. So it's a tough situation because not a lot of teams are going to want to deal a whole lot and even take on that cap hit for his contract. And the Cowboys certainly didn't want to keep him on the books for the amount of money he was making. So I think the way it was handled, letting him, like, cutting him first so he can take the dead money he was promised and then letting him retire made sense. I don't know if he'll stay retired because there's always that, like, one team every year where, like, they lose their franchise, their quarterback, like, unexpectedly during training camp or something, and they might give him a call. So it could be a Brett Favre situation where right now he's standing pat on being retired. But overall, I think it was handled the right way. I think the organization did it respectfully and allowed him to give him to keep the money he was promised originally signing his contract.
Well, I just found it funny of all the prognostications of where he'd be a good fit and all this, and no takers. All right, I'm going to retire. And it was like CBS already had his name on a chair.
Yeah, that is true.
Dude took it. I mean, that's the quickest career change I've ever seen. I mean, it happened on the same day.
Well, it may not have been made super public, but his agent may have been like, he may have talked to his agent and be like, look, if the Cowboys cut me or if I don't get a situation where I could be a starter, I might just retire.
Yeah, CBS is certainly free to tamper with anybody they want, you know, because they're not a football
right.
team. So I'm sure they had already had an offer on the table. And, you know, he's thinking, gee. Go get beat up some more or sit in a booth. Get paid just as much.
And he's a likable dude. I mean, like, I've heard him talk before. He seems like a very stand-up guy. He's well-spoken. Like, I think he'll be – people are all like, blah, blah, blah. He has no experience. But, like, he was also, you know, an NFL franchise quarterback for how many years. So I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he'll do all right. He actually seems to me like a little shy for the job, honestly. So it's going to be something he's going to have to grow into, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's done cameos out there before.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see, before we get to the phone lines, you know, since our last show, we've signed, we brought Teddy Williams back. Not too sure if how I feel about that one. You know, he is fast, and he can get down the field, but he is a liability. We extended Jonathan Stewart, which, again, to me is another indicator that the Panthers are really not looking for a running back. I don't understand why everyone thinks they're shallow at running back, and I'm like, I just don't think the Panthers feel that way. You can certainly shoot holes in their depth between Cap and Fozzie, but, you know, they very well could add somebody at the back end of this draft, but I just don't see anything happening in the first three rounds at the running back spot.
Well, let me shoot you this scenario. So the other night I was on the Slack chat with BW, and I think Ivan was involved, and Eric was involved, and like, a bunch of us were just talking, and, like, I was kind of just, like, venting because I kept seeing all these people being like, well, we should take Christian McCaffrey instead of Leonard Fournette, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, but if you really want to run a power rushing attack, isn't Fournette a better fit at eight? So, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, but I had this idea dawn on me based on the fact that Stewart was extended, and it's that, think about the way Mike Tolbert was used throughout the end of his, towards the end of his tenure. He was more of a pass blocker, short yardage back, and obviously he started to not be even good at running a couple yards and getting the first down. So just picture this. The draft board falls the way that it should, that we all project it to, and the best player available is between, like, maybe Howard and Fournette, or even not Howard. So Fournette's there. You take him. So why not relegate Stewart to more of a Mike Tolbert-esque role? He would be he'd be a great fit for it. Like, he's a great short yardage back still. He could still run through most people. He's obviously never been a burner as far as, like, going super fast. He's just a good, solid runner. We could throw to him out of the backfield. We know he can pass block. So you could take some of those additional responsibilities, and it doesn't even have to be Fournette necessarily. It could be another runner. But you could take a lot of those extra responsibilities that you want on a starting running back away, and you have Jonathan Stewart, where the drop-off isn't too bad because he's still got some good mileage on him, and you extend Stewart's mileage for another year, and that running back gets to pound the rock but not be the 25 to 30 carries a game type guy either. So that helps protect Cam Newton because they're using both of them, but basically maximizes the talent of the running back and gives Jonathan Stewart a little less of a workload.
I was like, you know, actually, that's probably not a bad, you know, you're paying Stewart an awful lot of money for, you know, 5 to 10 touches. It's almost like he's back to that platoon with Williams, you know. But then again, it worked very well back in 2012, so.
Yeah, it worked well even in 2013 when Tolbert was used as basically their power back in the in the red zone. Like, you could still do that with Stewart and Fournette. You're beating up a defense the whole game, you know. Like, it just – the fact that they extended him makes me think that they want him to be part of their plans next year too. And if you want to extend his mileage – because we all know he's going to be good for at least 2 games out too as far as injuries go. He's just – he's never been able to really field – or stay on the field for 16 whole games as a starter. So, like, you draft a running back and Stewart goes down, oh, well, you just let Cap and Fozzie and whoever else take the responsibilities over.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's pure speculation on my part, but it just seems like a logical idea.
Yeah. You know, it makes sense, and you're right. He's only played in 13 games the last 3 seasons. You know, and had a, you know, hasn't played 16 games since the first 4 seasons of his career. You know, that kind of makes sense. And I'll tell you, if we draft Fournette, I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm not like 100% sitting here like smoke wagon saying, oh, he's going to be a bust, or I'm not saying smoke saying that, but, you know, some people just double down on their opinions without really having anything to base it on. I think he would bring
high.
A level of excitement to the offense, and I would be curious to see how well he does, and I would love it. My concern is just more about longevity and the fact that he's such a power runner and looks to run people over. He's just going to be prone to getting hurt, just like Stewart.
Yeah, but at the same time, Stewart's was at his best and has lasted this long because of that platoon approach as well. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
I think there's
where, like,
truth
and
to
I
that.
Thought,
you know, you make a damn good point because, I mean, one of his strengths is his pass blocking, and so it's almost like he could become a third down back and actually probably be pretty successful at it.
You get a fresh Stewart on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 2. You could probably expect him to get those yards pretty easily.
Yeah. Swap him out with the rookie who's running on 1st and 2nd down.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thought right there. We'll have to go to the phones and see what anyone else thinks about that. Another topic is, I think, one of the more glaring weaknesses we have on the roster now that we've really addressed tackle, and we haven't even mentioned Michael Orr, who, again, Rivera keeps emphasizing he thinks he's going to play. I see one of the biggest holes now is who the hell's going to return kicks, you know, in particular punts with, you know, with Ted Ginn gone. You know, I'm getting flashbacks of having all that shakiness in catching punts, and, you know, it was just praying that we could field it cleanly back before Ginn returned. I just don't know who else we have out there that can return punts.
Well, I'm going to go back to the infamous Burson versus Bird debate, but I think that Bird would behoove himself to, and this is a not Jairus Bird, Damier Bird. It would benefit him to just lock down trying to return kicks, because that is a great way for him to make the roster. Because currently the speed guys they have between the new Charles Johnson and Russell Shepard, those two guys will probably get a chance to be the kick returners as well. And I think Russell Shepard actually has a bit of a pedigree as far as a special teams guy. I don't know about being a returner, but they're going to probably be trying out a bunch of guys there, and it's possible that if they do draft a wide receiver, like a faster one, that they'll give him a shot too. Obviously, a lot of the hype behind Christian McCaffrey too is that if they do draft him, he could be the guy to do it as well. So, I would say the guy that I'd be looking at right now to try and do it would probably be Bird, just because he's got the speed, and currently he has no real. He's got a lot of competition to make the roster as strictly a wide receiver. So.
Yeah. I would say he's got the inside track on that right now between him and maybe Fozzie Whitaker. I know he returns kickoffs. I just don't know who else. You're right. Unless we got a cornerback that can do it, but I can't think anyone we brought on.
And Bird had a few good returns in the preseason last year, if you remember that. So he's definitely got the inside track there, but Shepard and Johnson both bring some speed too. So, and obviously Brenton Burson was passable at simply fielding it. Sometimes he fumbled it a couple times in the playoffs, but you know, it's most likely going to be a wide receiver fielding punts just because you want hands there. But
could be Captain Munnerlin.
Oh, that is true. I forgot he used to do that.
Yeah, I know it might be a little long in the tooth to be doing that these days, but you never know. Get a snap count.
Back in 2014, if you remember, they were just putting anybody on the field who wouldn't drop it, basically. So.
Exactly. The bar was set low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see any of these safeties that look like kick returners. So, yeah, I think Bird and Whitaker and maybe Munnerlin, unless, like you said, Charlie Johnson, possibly. He's got the speed.
And they didn't want to field him there because they had such a dynamic guy in Patterson for the longest time, too.
Yeah. But there's a number of guys it's a deep draft at wide receiver, particularly slot wide receivers. So,
yep.
A kick returner might be what the doctor ordered later in the draft, a wide receiver kick returner.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's go ahead and go to the line. I see I got... got old Catastrophe on the line. What's up, Cat? Yo.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Oh, cool. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. I'm ready for this month to get over.
Yeah, no. When's the draft start? The 27th?
It's a Thursday night, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that would be the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, so we are... Well, hell. We're coming up on 3 weeks.
Yep, it can get here fast enough.
Nah, for real.
So, speaking to the wide receiver position... I'm looking at for that number 40 spot. You know, I'm thinking we're probably not going to get a wide receiver early in that first round. Even though if we do, it probably would be John Ross. But supposing those top three guys are off the board, Mike Williams, Ross, and Corey Davis, is there any of the other receivers that you would take at number 40? And I believe that some of the top ones, the ones that are left at that point would be like that Juju Schuster out of Southern Cal, the Chris Samuel, Ohio State. Curtis Samuel, that's it.
Chris Godwin, he's a good one, but I don't know about him at 40.
Yeah, he's another one of yep. Chris Godwin, I really like him, too. He kind of looks to me like a little taller version of Golden Tate. There's Artavius Scott with Clemson. The Ardarius Stewart, Alabama. I'm not sure I'd take him. Oh, I know who it was. Zay Jones.
Oh, that's a good one.
Might be a good one at 40. He might be the one. But it just, it, you know, really looking at it, it got me wondering if I just really think the pick at 40 is going to be a defensive end. There's still going to be some good ones on the board, I believe. And so if we don't get a defensive end early, like we go with the Howard, or maybe we do get the running back, I could instead see defensive end with a wide receiver coming later. You know, because it's just so deep at wide receiver, particularly the slot receivers there, maybe in the third round or fourth round.
I'm of the belief that we're going to wait on running back because I feel like it's a lot of good running backs in this draft. I don't think there's going to be as many top running backs as there will be next year. But I think between, you know, obviously, you know, we got the later pick in the second round. From that pick all the way to the last time that we pick in the draft, I mean, I think there's talent everywhere. It's all spread out. I just, I know a lot of people are beating the Fournette drum as I did, you know, a couple months ago. I just think the talent is too deep this year to have to commit to that position in an era when we're passing so much.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't think we can even agree on what kind of running back the Panthers would target. Whether it be another power back to replace Stewart, or would it be a scat back, you know, that could bring more dimension to the offense and, you know, potentially score every time they touch the ball. Because that seems to be what we're lacking, yet everyone says, well, it's a power running back offense, so you got to have a big power running back. And it's like, whoa. Hell, we got two of them on the roster right now between Stewart and Cap. I mean, Cap doesn't have the wiggle or the top-end speed as a lot of these guys, but he's got pretty good vision, and he's a tough runner. I think he played pretty well when he got the chance. You know, certainly well enough to be a backup.
Well, the only thing I have to say there is, you know, the Panthers may target both in this draft too. Like, there's a couple of good running backs sitting there that could be sitting there in the second round for him too. I don't know. For me, it's just I've seen Carolina; they're most successful when their power rushing game is on point. That's the only reason why I personally value a power running back, and it doesn't have to be Fournette. Like, I'm not sitting here saying Fournette or bust. I'm just saying, like, if they take him, it's not necessarily a bad pick. But 2013, 2015, their power rushing attack was strong. And if you're trying to protect Cam Newton, you need to put those hits on somebody else, you know?
Yeah. I do not disagree with that at all. Yeah, I think you've made a good point earlier about Stewart returning to that change of pace, but more of a third down running back, given he's 30, and, you know, it's just a good point that to go into this season and think that Stewart's going to carry, you know, get 20, 25 carries a game for 16 games and not miss some time, that would be pretty foolish assumption.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, my big thing with him is also that, you know, he's still an effective, like, even if you're paying him the kind of money they're paying him, which I think it's not a terrible amount, like, he's still getting what would be probably considered, like, starting running back money, but you get a really effective third down back with how much this offense is on third down, because let's face it happens a lot where Cam Newton gets sacked or they get a crap play on first and second down. It's like having that high end third down stack would be a really good thing for them, because it was good when Tolbert was around. He would make plays happen that shouldn't have. Like, for example, way back when they played the Eagles, and he made a Deshaun Foster like run into the end zone where he basically shrugged off about five people. You know, Stewart still
bounced off a couple
kind
of them, and just kept on churning. Yeah, that's certainly that's the play he should probably go into the retire on. As far as, hey, you want to see my best play of my career? This is it right here. This was my career in a nutshell. I took a short pass and bounced off four players and got 8 yards, but I scored into the corner of the end zone.
And it could be a guy like Samaj Perrin, for example. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but like Samaj Perrin is another name that people are saying, well, not Fournette, but this guy in the second round. And like, I can get behind that too. Like that guy's a not a burner, or like a home run hitter, but he's got that, he can certainly run the ball effectively for you between the tackles. So you have him, then you have Stewart.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to beat teams up all game, and that's very valuable, especially when you're in the fourth quarter and you got to throw the ball. Like, if the defense is bruised up from getting beat up all game, you know, it helps.
Cat, you're killing me. Yeah, you're making a lot of noise there on the microphone, dude.
Who, me?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and the Perrine guy, he could be there at 64, if not further back, right?
Possibly.
Maybe that 64 pick?
From what I've
saw
gathered,
third to fourth round, maybe?
From what I've gathered of the guy, he doesn't do anything on an elite level, but he does everything pretty well, is the best way I've heard it.
I mean, that sounds like Cameron Artis Payne.
That is true.
Wasn't Cat pretty old when he came out of Auburn? Wasn't he like 24, 25?
Well, he was a senior too, I believe.
Yeah.
He's like, I believe he's their all-time leading rusher right now, which at a school like Auburn, that means that you weren't good enough to get in the draft.
Better than
he was a year older, because he's been in league 2 years now and he's 26. So you're right, he was a little bit older than some of the other players. So yeah, you mentioned McCaffrey. I actually saw a mock draft where we took him at number 8. I'm feeling that either.
If you take him at 8, he better be the centerpiece of your offense at that point. And he'd be a great fit for Carolina. Like, I see the comparison saying like how patient of a runner he is and how good he is at catching balls and stuff like that. Like, you know, if Carolina used him correctly, I've seen the plays like with Fozzie Whitaker where like it was drawn up perfectly and Cam Newton just missed the pass, or like Fozzie dropped it. Like, there was at least two plays that I can recall last year where Fozzie Whitaker was running down the field on like a wheel route or something, wide open. It was either overthrown or dropped. But Fozzie's not nearly the receiving back that McCaffrey is. So like, I get the hype behind McCaffrey. I really do. I just don't know if you take him to be your RB1. Like, I feel like if you are going to take a running back at 8, they need to be your RB1. And I don't know if McCaffrey is that.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you on that one.
Well, a lot of people said he couldn't run between the tackles. And from, you know, some of the podcasts that I was listening to, he did a lot of running between the tackles. Stanford. Yes, I mean, it's not like he had a soft schedule or anything like that. I mean, he still had to get through some pretty good defenses, you know. Everybody just assumes he's going to be running off tackle and sweeps and stuff like that, but.
Well, I would say with McCaffrey, what you're getting is, if you're, like, the absolute ceiling you're getting is Le'Veon Bell without the off-field problems. And obviously that's a really good player. So I see it, like I do. It's just a matter of that, you know, a player like that, there's so many guys who come out of college who have the kind of film that have really good film running between the tackles, but if they're too small and they hit the NFL, they have a lot more problems. So if they take McCaffrey there, I'm just going to trust that Dave Gettleman knows what he's doing. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, for a number of options there at number 8, there's going to be a little bit of trust that Gettleman knows what he's doing.
And heck, I'd be super happy with not a running back at number 8 and then Dave Gettleman using those 2 second-round picks to trade back up into the first round and taking him in the back end of it. That would be cool. I would love that.
Well, he's
now that you bring that up.
He's got a history.
Yeah. I was watching NFL Network earlier. I think it was some mock draft thing they do, but they had an interesting stat. They said the most traded pick in the first round is number 22. That, you know, it seems like every year somebody will trade out of 22 or trade up, you know, whatever, whichever way you want to look at it, which to me is kind of interesting because if you pair the Panthers' 2 second-round picks together, it puts you right around number 22. If that scenario, I haven't even looked at the back end of the first round to get an idea of who would be there that they could take, but,
Well, I've seen a popular pick being McCaffrey to the Patriots.
Oh, right around in there?
Yeah, which Carolina could jump the Patriots easily.
That would be interesting to go Howard or a pass rusher. You know, go defense at number 8 and then trade up to get McCaffrey at 22. You know, maybe you got a pass rusher at number 8, and then or the safety, cornerback, and then get somebody like McCaffrey for the offense. And also, McCaffrey can return kicks too.
Yep,
which is quite interesting.
McCaffrey would get a share of a boatload of touches with Carolina. Like that's something I will not dispute. It's just that. With all the talent at 8, I just don't think you can take him there because he's not going to be, at least right now, unless the team really overhauls their offensive scheme, he's not going to be your RB1. Like, Stewart would be your early down back. So,
right.
I would rather see Carolina take somebody like Howard, who can complement Greg Olsen real well and probably take over for him eventually, or a defensive player who will be a high-impact, you know, day one starter, and then go for McCaffrey later in the first round.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that tight end Adam Sheehan? I believe that's his name, from Ashland. I think that's a Division II school.
I am not familiar, but fill me in.
He's I'm going to say he's like 6'6", 6'7". About 270 pounds.
Dang.
He's a pretty poor blocker. But he is, I guess he'd be equivalent to like a gazelle. The dude can run. And you would think being that big, he would be able to at least accidentally get in front of somebody to block him. But not the case. he is really good. I've seen him anywhere from third round all the way to undrafted. And I was talking to my buddy the other day about him. And, the dude, he can catch. You can see a very, very small amount of highlights, obviously, you know, Division II. But you guys should check him out. You guys get bored one night, check him out. He's good.
The only issue that I would have with a guy like that is if you can't block in Division II, how can you block in the NFL? You know, like it could just be a coaching thing, but if you can't block Division II people who don't usually have any remote shot of getting to the NFL, like That's a problem. That said, there are plenty of teams that use tight ends in a more receiving role than blocking role. So they can make
them fit. From what I understand, the cheerleaders had better offensive weapons than what Ashland did. He was literally the only the best weapon that they had. And that's why he never really had to block. Being that big, he'd be able to get in somebody's way, and he just had to be coached up. But you know, there is a difference between Division III and two and one as far as coaches go. You know, he gets in the right place. You know, somebody be able to teach him.
And Greg Olson is definitely the guy I'd want coaching a guy like that on top of whatever coach NFL coach is talking to him. Like, Greg Olson was never the best blocker when he got into the league, and he's still not the best, but he's good enough right now. Like, he's learned how to block and be a solid, like, edge setter. So I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see the trade up to number two to go after one of the tackles.
Yeah.
I know Cam Robinson has been sliding in a lot. And even Mike Mayock has him as a guard, which kind of scares me. But I think we'd still keep him at right tackle. As positive as Rivera is about Michael Orr, I still would rather have some more options besides Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I got to say those top three wide receivers are going to be gone, so I can't, you know, the only thing would be is to maybe go after a pass rusher that has slid down there. Like I said, there should be a number of defensive ends, but we may, you know, get a shot at one at number 40. Such a deep draft. It just, you know, Gettleman has traded he's packaged picks to move up in, I think, the last three drafts. So,
yep.
This might be one where he doesn't, though, because it's so deep, he may just say, I'm going to keep all my picks. I don't know that the trading up has really helped him. We traded extra picks to get Devin Funchess. We traded extra picks to get Darrell Williams, who I just spoke of. And there's one other person that escapes me at the moment, but did we trade up to get Darryl Worley?
Ben Wickery, too.
Yeah, Ben Wickery, I mean,
yep.
I think Worley, yeah, we traded up. So, I'm not going to say they've been bad picks, but, you know, they don't seem to have warranted what we've paid so far. You know, it's something to look back at, I think, maybe, is how well have we been trading up.
I will say this. I think that Funchess deserves a little more time. He's 22, I think, and this is going to be his third year in the league. So he's shown flashes of being, I've seen some absolutely beautiful catches by him, like technique-wise, route running-wise. Like, he's got something there. It's just a matter of that maybe he needs a little more time to truly blossom. So, and Darrell Williams, obviously, this is going to be his third year, and everybody except for Dave Gettleman and Ron Rivera seem to think he sucks, so who knows.
Hey, did y'all see that video of Benet when he was jumping on that, what was it, 54-inch platform? He made 4 out of 5. He really made 5 out of 5, but he kind of tipped back on the last jump. So he got back in shape is what I'm getting at.
Oh, Ben Wickery?
I don't know if I saw that or not. Yes, sir.
No,
absolutely. He got back in shape.
I will say this. I mean, like, Ben Wickery was really good when he was in shape for Carolina, and he even showed, like, some really good, just, like, fundamental understanding of what was going on the defense with some of the interceptions he made. Like, they weren't, like, he was in the right place at the right time. Like, he made a great read. That said, like, I never saw a darn thing from Ben A. Benwickery that would make me think that he was better than Captain Munnerlyn. So, in the grand scheme of things, I think Carolina came out on top because Munnerlyn is just that guy who can take it to the house if he picks it off, and he makes a lot of big plays. So, I'm hoping Ben A. Benwickery does well wherever he is now, but I think Munnerlyn was not great.
Yeah, people forget how strong Munnerlyn is. I know, you know, he's not that big of a guy, but I remember reading a few years ago when he was still with us, he was benching 400 pounds, you know, pretty consistently. And he's not a guy that you would think benches 400 pounds.
Yeah.
He was just a very physical player. Like, he made a lot of hits and a lot of tackles, and I remember the one play against the Jets where he made an interception. He basically ripped the ball away from the guy, like, after it was a semi-contested catch and then took it to the house. Like, he's just a big play corner. Like, he's the closest Carolinas have ever had to someone like Deion Sanders in that sense. Like, he's just – he gets the ball in his hands, there's a pretty good chance he takes it to the house, you know? So.
Yeah.
And he was a really – he was at his absolute best as that joker. Like, he could be in man, he could be spying, he could be blitzing, he could be in zone. Like, he was so good at doing that versatile, like, you're not really sure what he's doing at nickel type guy. So I think he'll be – I think he's going to blow it up next year.
Yeah, he's still young. Isn't that crazy? He's like 28 years old.
Yep.
Let me ask you guys a question.
28 years old and knows the system.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Let me ask you guys a question. Two picks. What is a typical, I expected it, Dave Gettleman pick, and then one is a meh pick? I'm going to give you my two, and then you guys go. Doesn't matter what order. I'm going to say my meh pick is Reuben Foster. My other pick is Jonathan Allen. Ready, set, go. Doesn't matter.
You like Jonathan Allen, or?
Well, I in Dave Gettleman's mind, it would just be so Dave Gettleman to pick him.
Oh yeah.
I think he's incredibly elite. And if all that arthritis in the shoulder stuff is not accurate, like the heart murmur, like you guys were saying, I mean, to get a guy to fall to eight, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I'm telling you, though, if we pick Jonathan Allen, the fan base is going to explode.
Yeah, you better have an extinguisher for the website, because it's going to burn.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be
I don't understand
freaking,
that, though. Like,
But he could end up being so good that we go, okay, we don't really need K1 short next year.
Well, here's the thing about Allen
of,
is that he go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to basically reiterate what you said in your post, Brian, was that the fact that he can rush literally from everywhere on the line. He could probably do it from the sideline if he wanted to. If it was legal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he really could. I mean, he's just like KK. I think KK could do it from any position on the line. And Jonathan Allen could do it, and he's probably a better talent physically than KK.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is simple. Like, if they take Jonathan Allen, they have some leverage in case K1 Short leaves next year. They have Jonathan Allen, who will have 1 year in the system with K1 Short and Star Latulele. At least 4 more years. So it's like you get a guy who can play. And I've heard him compared to Michael Bennett. It's like, how could a guy like let's just say, obviously he's not the same player as Michael Bennett, but let's just hypothetically look at it as like he works out to be like Michael Bennett. So you get a guy like Michael Bennett, you add it into the system. How is that a bad thing? You know? Like, he can rush. Like, just think about this. You get Julius Peppers, Mario Addison, K1 Short, Jonathan Allen rushing. How is that not terrifying for an offense to deal with? Like,
That's disturbing.
Yeah, it's like you get four guys who all potentially could deserve double teams rushing your quarterback. Your quarterback's going to die, you know, like, unless you have a really good offensive line. Like, so that's kind of my justification by the Allen pick, and obviously it's also just the fact that I know Dave Gettleman would go for it. I guess my meh pick would be that's a tough one. Probably Robinson. I know, like, this is specifically at number eight. Like, if they got him somewhere else, I wouldn't care. But I just don't know if he's going to make it on the field because I think that Ower's – I personally think that Ower will be back next year just because of the workouts he's been doing. Like, it's not like he's been sitting around doing nothing. He's been doing NFL workouts. So you draft Robinson there, and he may not play a whole lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Jackson, what about you?
I've just been meh on the whole Leonard Fournette or even Dalvin Cook, just a running back, and I think I know why, and that is because I'm just having flashbacks to 21 years ago. The last time we took a running back at number eight was Tim Diakituka. Need I say more? He lasted all of two seasons or whatever. But, you know, it's just and the Jonathan Allen pick would be, I'm sure I don't know. I have a hard time with this one. Particularly if Howard and Solomon Thomas and Garrett and Jamal Adams and Malik Hooker are off the board, what the hell are the Panthers going to do?
Take Jonathan Allen.
Right. Yeah.
Which is why that's the so Dave Gettleman pick.
Yeah.
And it may not happen that way. It's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you don't know how the draft's going to fall, and obviously that arthritis thing could play into it, but, like, that's, like, hypothetically speaking, I don't know why we would see Jonathan Allen and Solomon Thomas both staring us in the face at eight. I think the Panthers would have one or the other staring them at eight. And it's possible neither one of them's there because, like, teams do value pass rushers. They really do. So, and I could even see a big run on pass rushers, like, in the middle of the first round or the end of the first round where, like, Carolina doesn't have the opportunity to take one then in the second round, or at least one that would be worth that pick. So it's just so hard to predict that because teams value certain things more than others.
Yeah. It seems like lately Solomon Thomas has gained a lot of steam.
I would have no complaints if Solomon Thomas was the pick at number eight, because even though they have Johnson, Addison, and Peppers, he'd still find a way in there, and they'd be able to. And they've obviously made guys like freaking what's his face,
Jared Allen.
Not even Jared Allen, yeah. But what's his face, the undrafted free agent we got from the Redskins. Guy with the dreadlocks. What was his name?
Oh, Dallaire.
Yeah, Ryan Dallaire. They made Ryan Dallaire into a several sack guy, and he's not worth a whole lot, you know. Like, so,
yeah.
The best thing that they do is they put those guys in situations where they have the opportunity to win because it's what they do best. So Solomon Thomas would be in situations where he may not have to be an early down or a three-down defensive end. He could just be there for the rotation, and then he's fresh, and he's able to rush the passer and get a lot of sacks that way.
Yeah, I had to look up the Devin Funchess trade. So we moved up where was it? How many spots? 16 spots. And we gave up our second and then our third and our sixth rounder. to move up 16 spots in the second. So you just traded away three players to get one. I would question that trade at this point.
They traded away four draft picks or just three?
Well, three totaled, yeah, three.
So they traded away two.
Then they traded up later. Yeah. They traded their second, which was 16 slots back, to move up to 41 in the second. And they also gave up their third and their sixth rounder. And then later, they traded the rest of their draft to move up 22 spots in the fourth round to get offensive tackle Darrell Williams. They had a third-round value on him. He was too good to pass up.
And there still could be time. I mean, a third-round pick doesn't necessarily need to contribute in his first 2 years. You just want to see solid improvement. And, you know, maybe Williams is just a guy where they felt he needed some seasoning.
We had nine picks in that draft. We had nine picks and only came away with five players.
But we also went to the Super Bowl.
Well, true.
So, I mean, like,
good point.
I get what you're saying.
You had that one in your damn pocket all night, didn't you? You're just waiting to throw that one out there.
That's the ace right there.
Well, it's just, it was funny because the guy on the 49ers podcast that I was talking to the other night, he said he made a point that I was like, that I actually hadn't thought of myself, but he's like, the Panthers are probably in a better position than almost every other team in the top 10 because they probably don't need to draft a bunch of guys to fill out a bunch of stuff. They could easily get back to being an elite team as long as they don't deal with the injuries they dealt with. Because I had discussed that, and I was like, yeah, it's true. Like, you know, last year was kind of sucked because obviously the team itself had problems, but there were so many crappy injuries that happened at bad times, and Campbell's getting messed up and stuff. Like, you know, there's so much more that plays into how successful you are than just how your draft went. So, and the Panthers, obviously, they have a franchise quarterback. They have at least a RB1 for the next year. They have Greg Olsen for a couple more years. They have three pieces on the offensive line that are really good. They have Kaywon Short, Star Latulele, Charles Johnson, Julius Peppers right now, who are all solid at the very least. They have Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. They got Kurt Coleman. You know, like, there's a lot of great pieces on the Panthers roster right now. So, like, for them, you leave this draft with four picks, and those four picks end up being hits. You might end up in the playoffs again.
Well, we're definitely one of the top ten teams. We're one of the teams, you know, that's picking the top ten that don't deserve to be picking there, other than our record says that we do. But we're not as far away going to the Super Bowl as the other nine teams in the top ten. Yeah. We're not missing all those pieces, you know what I mean? We did have a ton of injuries last year.
Yeah.
And as far as Darrell Williams,
roster wise and everything, we should be picking, you know, about middle of the first round. But, you know, we lost several games that we should not have lost and could have at least ended up at 8-8, if not better. So, you know, it's like that last game against New Orleans. God, we so blew that, but shit, that gained us like two draft spots. It won't give a shit now, you know, I mean, at this point.
And we practically gave away a game against the Kansas City Chiefs where that game was against one of the top playoff contenders. So, you know, it's not like Carolina was like completely out of it in most games. It's just that they had to get adjusted to some of the changes that happened. But, you know, looking next year, got some continuity, got some experience for some of the other rookies, and you get guys in the system who don't have to be your starters like James Bradbury and Darryl Worley were. It's very feasible Carolina's taking in the 20s next year. So, take this draft and maximize on it.
Yep. Oh, man. Like to do. I already know what my next post is going to be. I'm going to redraft the 2015 draft, and I'm not going to damn trade up.
Do you have any other callers you want to bring on?
Actually, we don't. Lost two that were out there. I know one of them is Vancouver Chris. Sorry, he usually hangs on or doesn't talk much, but he bolted. So I don't know if he was mad or not. I doubt it. He's usually pretty laid back. And I got another guy in Columbia that doesn't ever talk, so I don't bother. But I do appreciate whoever you are in Columbia that always calls and listens. I appreciate you. when you don't do the show for a couple weeks, it kind of knocks down the attendance. I know that. But well, hell, you know, it's just sometimes Tuesdays just doesn't work very well.
It works for you, doesn't it?
Yep.
That's
all that matters.
So,
I'm glad you do it, because I know a few years ago when I used to see on the website, you know, CSR Radio, I had no clue what it was. And then I was looking for Panthers podcast on iTunes when I'm working at night, and I ended up finding it. And I was like, what in the world is this? And then I put two and two together, and, well, there you are. How about that?
What is this craziness? Yeah.
I'm telling you. All that time, because I know I lurked on the website, God, I know, easily since 2009. And I think I finally signed up in 2012. And I bet I don't even have, it's kind of embarrassing, but I bet I don't even have 180 posts on it on the website.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm a senior lurker, so y'all know.
Well, you know, it's funny how some people just have their different medias that they like to interact with. You do get some people who never comment on the blog, but are always comment, either call into the show, or say they listen to the podcast. You know, and then obviously we get a lot of people who don't really care about the podcast or calling in, but they're always on the blog. I always run into a lot of people who say, you know, I was a lurker for the longest time, and then once I started, it's like once they start commenting, they get hooked.
Yeah.
And then at some point we wish they had not started commenting. But yeah, it's kind of funny too that you get people, you can always tell the people that come over from the Observer or some of these other places that aren't very well regulated, and they get smacked down pretty quick and threatened to be banned.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
like, what, banning? You what, you can ban me? What? He's like, yeah. They're like, oh, we've had a few. Every now and again, you get one what? That straightens their act up. But usually, if they're bad apples, there's no changing them.
Yeah. I hate texting. I like calling in and telling everybody what I feel. So, you know what?
So I got an email while we were talking from SBN, their fake team site. Put up a profile on Fournette. Looks pretty good. That's when I threw it in the river. I don't know. It's a little short, I guess. I don't know. had a hell of a season 2 years ago. Almost 2,000 yards, 22 touchdowns.
People called him a surefire first-round pick if he had actually chosen to go into the draft that year. Fun fact.
Yep. So they got the Panthers. They threw it to me because they were one of three teams they think would be the perfect landing spot for Fournette.
I can't disagree. I think he fit right in.
But doesn't that kind of go back to what you were saying earlier, Jackson? Is like, you know, finding out what running back works. You know, I would think Fournette is kind of in the same mold as Stewart. I think, you know, Perrin or whatever his name is in that same mold.
Yeah.
We truly don't know. I mean, I think Gettleman's got to figure it out by now. But
I mean, my whole hot take thing is if I knew he was, could be as durable as Adrian Peterson has turned out, even though Peterson's gone through some injuries lately, and he's certainly had a couple seasons, he's been a hell. That was one of my dings. I thought the Vikings were crazy for taking him so early because he was actually coming off an injury. But he's actually been very durable. If I knew he could be durable, I'd be all for it. I'm just not sure about that and his running style. But I tell you, I have to give Brian props. I see how a platoon might be in the Panthers' plans for Stewart, with him getting more, like you said, more third down because he's so good at pass blocking, but could also be an outlet, run passes and even run the ball on third down.
I haven't seen a running back like him in a long time that can bat a pass block like that. A legitimate starting running back. He is so good at it.
Yeah. He's just strong.
He don't mind
hitting
you in the mouth.
His upper body strength is, it's that punch he's got, the stiff arm.
Yeah.
He does the same thing when he's blocking. He gets in your pads and he pops you. And
he's
your 300-pounder.
And the best part of that is that doesn't diminish over time. That doesn't diminish. Like,
right.
His running style might diminish a little bit, but being able to pass block doesn't diminish over time. So you add that mileage to him by bringing in somebody else to be the bell cow guy, and you maximize his potential as well for the next 2 years.
Yep.
And could you imagine if he wanted to poke you in the eye, strong as he is, and he plays piano? Good Lord. Bam!
He'd be up to his knuckle. His finger would be, up to the knuckle in your skull. Yeah.
Be deep. I've always had a lot of love for Stewart, man. I mean, he's just something different. He's not typical, that's for sure.
No, if you followed him on Instagram, and whatnot, Twitter, he's anytime there's some shenanigans going on with the Panthers, Stewart's usually in the middle of it. Usually during training camp, they'll make at least one foray to a local restaurant or somewhere, a group of them, and they'll do some type of song and dance or something that they film. It seems like they do something like that every year. So I don't know. We could keep talking, and I might start feeling better about Leonard Fournette.
Well, if y'all had three choices, who would y'all take? Who's your top choice, second choice, and third choice?
Well, I'm going to assume that Jamal Adams and Myles Garrett are kind of unreachable. But, my top three would be probably
running back. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, running back.
I just meant running back. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I agree. As far as all the running backs in the class go, he's the best fit, per se, unless you're looking for the actual third down faster guy like a Wayne Gallman or the Curtis Samuel or the McCaffrey even. You're looking more for the jukey speed guy. But I don't know. I just don't see them going for that kind of guy.
Well, I would like to see top one would probably be O.J. Howard, only because Cam Newton's best passing year by far was his rookie season, in my opinion, when he had Shockey and Olsen. So you add a really high-level receiving talent in O.J. Howard, who can also block, which is something that you don't see with a lot of the high-end receiving tight end prospects. You put him in there with Greg Olsen, you have like an Aaron Hernandez and Ron Gronkowski type combo there. And I don't know how many games you guys watched when that combo was around, but that was damn near undefendable when the Patriots had that combo. So for me, I would love to have O.J. Howard there, because not only does it gives Cam Newton another good tight end to refer to, but it put the contingency plan in place for when Greg Olsen inevitably starts falling off. My number two guy that I really like to see would probably be, this is assuming that Jonathan Allen doesn't fall as far as that one mock draft didn't, doesn't go through. I'd say probably Solomon Thomas, just because I'd like to see, I think that a young, high-end, but maybe possibly a little raw pass rusher would be a great addition to this defense, simply because they don't have to do everything right away. They're going to have Julius Peppers and Charles Johnson there for at least this year, possibly next year, doing their thing and making plays. I would say my third one would probably be Fournette, and I think he's the most realistic pick there. He's just with it. Even if Jonathan Stewart sticks around for 2 years, you get that platoon system going on. Third year around, Leonard Fournette should be well accustomed to the NFL and well accustomed to running in it without all the mileage of those first 2 years of being your bell cow back. You have your power rushing attack still with a guy who now knows pretty much exactly what he's doing, along with maybe another running back added next year, and you have a really strong rushing attack. So I look at it in the sense of, like, with that eighth pick, you got to have a long-term plan as well. It's not just this next year, what are they going to do?
Well, you're one for three in my book, because I asked who's your top three running backs. So you're one for three.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got Fournette.
I thought you said, okay. I'm sorry.
I wasn't
going
to stop you
because
I wanted to hear what you had to say. So.
Top three running backs. I'm sorry. I completely missed that. I thought you just said top three players. Okay. So, obviously, Leonard Fournette's number one. I'd probably go with McCaffrey at number two, simply because he's going to do so many things for this offense, and they clearly have a plan for a guy like him, as evidenced by the plays that Fozzie Whitaker was making, or the plays that he ran as the scat back for them. So they have a plan for a guy who can catch the ball and a guy who can run on the outside as well as run underneath tackles. My third guy would probably be... I'm going to take off the off-the-field issues here, but Mixon, simply because he is one of the top running backs in the draft. And I know Jerry Richardson's not going to get past that the domestic violence issue, but, man, if Carolina could add him and somehow get through that, they would have a really good running back there. And it sucks because a guy like Tyreek Hill from the Kansas City Chiefs isn't vilified for what he did, but Mixon is, and it's going to hurt his draft stock, so... Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's hard to imagine he had Samaje Perine and Mixon in the same school.
Yep.
Well, I know I've asked you guys the question, but I like Fournette, McCaffrey, and then D'Angelo Henderson. I'm sticking by that guy. The kid out of Coastal Carolina. I just feel like that's going to be a Carolina
type of
pick.
Is he a day three? Probably a
day two.
Yeah.
I think he had 32 games with 32 touchdowns straight. It was a record in FBS schools. He's only like 5'7", 5'8", about 205. But he put up a lot of bench reps. He's really strong, really, really shifty. Again, if you guys get bored, look up tight end Adam Sheehan and look up running back D'Angelo Henderson. Look at their work. I think you guys will like them. And, you know, they're going to be a little bit later. I think Sheehan will get drafted earlier than Henderson, but he's a little ball of dynamite, that Henderson kid, for sure. And we have history at Coastal, so.
Yeah.
Yep, makes sense.
So is the Barry Sanders running back at Oklahoma State, is that Barry Sanders' son? Didn't Barry Sanders come out of Oklahoma State? Or is he Texas?
I think he was Texas, wasn't he?
Was he Texas? Or Barry Sanders? Or was he Oklahoma?
I know for sure he's divorced because all his commercials are on the radio.
He's out of Oklahoma State. He's a cowboy.
Well, Barry Sanders Jr. played for Oklahoma State this past year. Started out with Stanford from 2012 to 2015.
Have y'all heard those commercials he does about divorce groups and stuff like that?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you said he's getting divorced? And you're seeing this on the internet?
No, he has been divorced. You were saying you didn't know what school he went to, but I said, I know for a fact he's divorced because he's on there for like Duderman Law Group or something like that. It's all over ESPN on their radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's a guy that retired way too early.
Oh, yeah.
He retired in his prime.
I mean, I think he went for almost 200 in his final game, didn't he? It was like crazy.
I saw the 30 for 30 or something like that on him, and they said one of the reasons he retired early was because he was tired of talking in public. And that's the same thing kind of with Marshawn Lynch. A lot of people don't know that a long time ago when he was in college and he ran for a lot of yards, won a game, he did an interview after the game and, you know, he gave some responses and it, you know, wasn't very intelligent. And that particular media group made fun of him and he said from that point forward he wasn't going to talk to the media. A lot of people don't know that.
I know he definitely had a media blackout thing. He didn't talk to them very much.
But that was one of the reasons for sure.
Yep. All right. down to 5 minutes. Hour and a half goes fast, man.
Yep.
And you can go ahead and get to your next 75 callers. We'll wait. We're good.
The well is dry tonight, man. Usually I got at least 6 or 8 people on there. But, again, not unexpected when I've skipped a few weeks. But hopefully I'm going to try to do it every week now leading up to the draft. It's only got, 3 more shows before the draft?
Yep.
And then
are you going to do the draft show too, Jackson?
Oh, yeah. That's just too damn fun. Yeah.
Well, I'm down for that.
And, of course, we'll do the draft contest too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Got 8 picks this year.
And I'll get none of them right, but I'm going to do it.
We'll have to see, how many, who the hell is that picks we get from the Panthers again this year?
Well, you can expect one of those between the second and third round, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't surprise you when it's the 6th or 7th round and they pick somebody that you never heard of. But, you know, last year's 2nd round, James who? James who?
Yeah.
He's the what? He's speaking a quarterback?
Speaking of that, just for the last few minutes here, I literally just remembered this, but Aminu Sialatolu is a Panther again.
Yeah.
Name of college. Go for it.
I couldn't say.
Like Fort Valley State or some shit like that?
Was it? I was thinking about that the other night. You guys ever had that feeling where you're like, my God. Where did such and such go? Midwestern, that's it.
Yeah.
Because we know where that is, right? It's not in Rhode
somewhere
Island.
Somewhere in the Midwest.
It's somewhere between Atlanta and Salt Lake. Midwestern.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. I have no idea where Midwestern
State
is.
He played tackle in college, too.
He's from California, I noticed. So it's like, dude, all the colleges out in California, and you go to Midwestern State? I mean, let me find out where this podunk place is, because I'll bet he went with what he could get. They're the Mustangs.
Well, it's crazy, you know, Edmund Kubila, he went to...
He was like New Mexico.
I thought he went to Valdosta. I think New Mexico was Byron Bell, wasn't it?
You know what? You're right.
But Kubila was actually recruited by Tennessee, and he didn't have the grades to get to Tennessee. And now you see where he's at today. He's at my local Walmart. He's not on the bike.
Probably buying a bike at Walmart.
That's a good point. Somebody's got to run the garden over there.
Yep.
Yeah, I think somebody got canned because I think Gettleman trusted one of his scouts and totally regretted that. They're in Wichita. It's in Wichita Falls, Texas. So
that's where
Southern California to Wichita Falls. Where the hell that is? Because Wichita—that's Wichita State. Is that in Wichita? I don't know.
I have no idea. I feel like there's more than one Wichita in the United States.
They got a good basketball team, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's right on the border with Oklahoma. Well, all right, guys. Well, shit, we're down to 15 seconds. So I appreciate you. We'll do it again next Tuesday if we get a few callers. But, again, we'll be focused on the draft and everything else that goes on in the Carolina Panthers next 7 days. So I appreciate it, Brian, Kat. We'll catch you next time.
Cool. See you guys.
All righty. Catch you later.
Bye.
All right.